So if a man is a chayiv, then we have yesh kor, all the dinim are pretty much then. And we're on daf mem zayin on the aleph before the wide lines. The Gemara quotes a memra, Amar Avada Barava, Leviya Shayolda. Says on the margin that the same Gemara appears in Chulin, the end of Chulin. So just a little bit of background that's necessary for the next piece of Gemara. There is a Rashi quote, there is a Machlek in Tatanoim. What's the din Nochri Habo Abbas Yisrael? Whether the child is a Mamzer or not. So there's one opinion. The child is a mamzer. Why is a child a mamzer? That's the question. What's the definition of a mamzer? So I think this we did mention the last time we learned. Ibn Ezra and Chumash claims that the word mamzer is a combination of two words, me'aim zar. The child was born from a strange mother, was a strange. Child has a mother and a father who couldn't have had a tfisas kiddushin with each other. Let's say someone is mezana with an eshesish, or someone is mezana with his sister. So ain kiddushin tofsin ba'arayis. So kiddushin is not tofsin by an eshesish. Kiddushin not tofsin by achoso. So the child has a father and a mother who couldn't have had these kiddushin with each other. That's called mamzer. So that's why one Tana is of the opinion that Akam Haba Abbas Yisrael have lad mamzer, because they can't have tefisas kiddushin between a Jew and a non-Jew. That's one opinion. We don't paskin like that. The Gemara says, Akam Hilchasa, and Yevamah's Hilchasa, Akam Haba Abbas Yisrael have lad kosher, afilu, even if she's an Eshes Ish. Not loyme boy, if the Jewish girl is a penuya, she's not married. But even if she is an eshes ish, a bal eshes ish, the blood should be a mamzer. Marza, the blood is not a mamzer. Why not? So there are two girses in the Gemara. We have one girsa in all the Vilna edition. All the Gemaras that we have one girsa. And the Rashba quotes, the girsa Sagonim is totally different. So the girsa that we have is that when is the Vlad Mamzer, when there couldn't have been Tfisis Kiddushin? That's the definition of Mamzer. So that's, if there could have been Tfisis Kiddushin between this man, the father of the baby, and someone else. But if he's a Nochri, there couldn't be Tfisis Kiddushin with any Jewish woman. So that's why the Vlad is not a Mamzer. What kind of an explanation is that? Very unclear. So what it probably means is the following. That what makes mamzeris if there's a isa gili arayis? How do you know when there's a gili arayis? Gili arayis, when you say you heard vayava, there's gili arayis, okay? Usually when it's chorus, whenever there's chorus, it's gili arayis. So the Gemara says, Bamedvar mamrim, when do you say that if there's no tvisis kiddushin, that's an indication that there's an Issa Gilei Arayis. If the father of the child who had the child from this woman, if he's a Jewish person, he could have had Tfisas Kiddushin with any other woman, but with this woman he couldn't have. It's his sister, she's an Eshes Ish, or it's his daughter-in-law, something like that. So then you say there was a violation of Gilei Arayis, and Mamzeris is a result of Gilei Arayis. But by a Nochri, there's no Tfisas Kiddushin with any Jewish girl. So by definition, Bia with an Ochri is not called Gilei Arayis, even if she is an Eshes Ish, because the man, the father of the baby, couldn't have been Tfisas Kiddushin with anybody. It's not called Gilei Arayis. That's the girsa that we have, yeah. What leads us to interpret like that? When do you say the blood is a mamzer, isli Tfisas Kiddushin with someone else? But here, an Ochri couldn't have Tfisas Kiddushin with anybody, therefore it's not Gilei Arayis. So on the first daf in Yevamos, that based on an aleph, Tosis has a kasha, and the Tosis Yishonim quotes the Rabbi Natan from the Sefer Yosha, gives an answer. Doesn't quote the whole Sefer Yosha, but he quotes part of it. So Tosis has the following kasha. Let's say you had, the Mishnais have these cases in Yevamos, have every possible possibility there. So let's say there are two brothers married to two sisters. Taisus quotes Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Taisus Yevamos quotes Rabbi Yehuda Chassid said, You shouldn't permit that. You shouldn't allow two brothers to marry two sisters. Historically, we know a lot of situations where I know a few cases where two brothers married two sisters. Take Abchatzka Levenstein was the Mashgiach in the Mir Yeshiva after Rabbi Yeruchim passed away. Abchatzka was the Mashgiach. He was already in Eretz Yisrael. And then after Rabbi Yeruchim passed away, he went back to Europe to be the Mashgiach in the Mir Yeshiva. And then the war broke out, and then they were in Shanghai. Then they came to Eretz Yisrael. So he had two daughters, and the two daughters married two brothers. There are other cases also that we know of. Why did the Sefer Hasidim say you shouldn't permit two brothers to marry two sisters? Because the Gemara says, you mevatel mitzvahs yevamim. If you have a case, two brothers are married to two sisters, one of the brothers dies, so then you don't need yibum or chalitza. Because the yevama, the almana, is aches ishtoi. I'm married to a girl, and her sister just became an almana. So I'm not allowed to do yibum, because it's aches ishtoi b'chayeho. Not permitted. It's an isa karis. It's a chayvi kriz. It's gili arayis. So, and the Gemara learns out from the pasuk, kol she'en ela liyibam, ein ela lechalitza. Since you can't have any yibum by aches ishtoi, because it's an arayis, an isa karis, there's no zika at all. You don't need any chalitza at all. So the Mishnah has the following case. So that's what the Sefer Hasidim says. We shouldn't permit two brothers to marry two sisters because that may be mevatel mitzvus yevam. If one of the brothers will die, so the surviving brother won't have a mitzvah to do yibum or chalitza. If the second brother, whoever the first brother gets married, there's no problem. Second brother is going to marry his sister-in-law, his sister-in-law's sister. So that's, he's setting up the situation that in case one of the brothers will die, he won't have a yibum chalitza. So Taisus Taina is against that. It doesn't say that in the Gemara. The Gemara has a case like this. If two brothers were married to two sisters, and one of the brothers dies, no, wrong. If you have two brothers, and one brother was married, and he died, and you're supposed to do Yidma Chalitza, and then I go and I marry the Almana's sister. That's Mevatel Mitzvus Yevamim. Because when the first brother, one brother was married, the other one was single. So the one brother died, the brother who's married dies, and then the single brother goes, and he marries the sister of the Yevamim. That's Mevatel Mitzvus Yevamim. His brother died, so there was Zika. There's a mitzvah to do either Yibam or Chalitza. So he does a shtick, he goes and he marries the sister, and he makes the Yibam into a Inisa Erva, so he can't do any Yibam or Chalitza. So that's called Mevatel Mitzvus Yibam. But if Melech HaTchilu, two brothers married to a sister, they should each live Ad Me'a V'yas M'shana. They should all have children. Who says there's going to be any Yibam or Chalitza at all? So strictly speaking, there is no such thing. We don't follow that Savos Rabbi Rochasi, that two brothers should marry two sisters. There are a lot of things in Rabbi Rochasi that we don't follow. They have in their history books the story that the Vada Abra Rotzis in Poland in the 1500s, they had a Vada Rabbonim, Vada Abra Rotzis controlled everything. So they were once having a discussion whether Savos Rabbi Rochasi only applies to his descendants, or applies to all of Klal Yisrael. So the story goes that the Mashiach stood up and he said, I'm a descendant from Rabbi Rochasi. Rabbi Rochasi left the Tzavoe. You should name any of your children Shmuel or Eliezer. My name is Shmuel Eliezer. The Mashiach's name was Shmuel Eliezer. He said, the descendant, well, forget about the guys to Klal Yisrael. The descendants of Rabbi Rochasi don't observe his Tzavoe. So forget about all the Klal Yisrael. So it's hard to understand why some that's always Rabbi Rochasi people are so careful about not to marry a girl with the same name as your mother and other things, not to block up windows and so on. We don't follow all the other things Rabbi Rochasi, not to take care of Rosh Chodesh. There is no source in the Gemara for any of this. Anyway, so there's a Mishnah in Yevamah that has like this. Let's say a case, two brothers are married to two sisters, and one brother dies. So the surviving brother doesn't have to do Yibam or Chalitza because the Yivama, the Almana, is a Chavi Christus. Achasishta b'chayeha. So she's allowed to remarry. She didn't remarry yet, and the sister dies. The sister of the Almana, who is married to the other brother, dies. So now the surviving brother is permitted to marry the Almana because it's achasishta l'chamisasishta. So do you say that the Zika develops now? So the Mishnah says no. If at the time that the brother died, there were two brothers married to two sisters, one brother died. The moment that he died, there was no Zika, because it was Achasishta Bechaya. So then, the wife of the surviving brother dies, now she becomes Muteris. Then I'm going to say Zika is Chal Yesh Me'ayin. No, the Zika has to be Chal Bishas Misa. And if Bishas Misa, there was an Issa Kares, therefore the Zika is not Chal, so it's not Chal later. Sure, that's a Mishnah. The Gemara says, why is that? Because the Rachel Adachinam Chal Nusivaseh Shalom. That's one of the Midrash HaTarnid Reshes Behem. Whenever you have a Pasuk in Chumash, and it's a little unclear whether it means A or B, and A would be a very harsh, rough din, and B would be a pleasant din. So that's one of the Midrash HaTarnid Reshes. The Rachel Adachinam Chal Nusivaseh Shalom. The pshat probably is, the correct pshat is, the pleasant way. They're going to say, the Yivama was permitted lihnasi lashuk the moment the husband died. The almane is achasishta b'chayeha, so she doesn't need Yivama chalitza, so she's allowed to marry someone else, so she's dating someone, she's holding about getting married. All of a sudden her sister dies, now she becomes achasishta lachamisa zishtoi, so now all of a sudden there's a zika. But she was dating the last couple of months. She's holding by getting married. She got engaged. She held by getting married. That's an unpleasant thing. But that's why we say that the din depends on the shas nefila. When the brother died, was there a zika? Was there? If there was no zika, the shas when the husband died, then it doesn't come. The zika doesn't come back later on in Yesh Me'ayin. So the thesis on the first half of Yivam is based on Manalev raises a question: what if two brothers, one brother's married, the brother dies. The time the brother dies, his wife, his almana, happens to be a nida. Nida's an Issa Kares. So at the time, Ushas Nefila, the surviving brother was not permitted to perform Yibum because it's an Issa Kares. You're not allowed to do Yibum as an Issa Kares. Esa Dechala Sesa, the Ein Esa Dechala Sesa Sheish Bakares. So whenever the almana was a nida at the time of the filah, so even though she goes to mikvah later on, there's not going to be any zika later on. That's unheard of. Never heard of such a thing. It doesn't say in any mishnayos. And Tosafot quotes Gemara and Psachim that it's not true. Even though she was a nida, when the husband died, there is going to be zika. So Tosafot says, why is that so? So the Tosafot Rishonim, there are different answers that the Rishonim give. So the Tosafot Rishonim quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, and when you look in the Sefer Hayosha, it's more explicit. The Sefer Hayosha discusses a Shaila. The din usually is by Gilui Arayis, by Chavi Krisus, Gilui Arayis. So the din is, number one, Ein Kiddushin Tov. So the man is going to give a ring to an Esh Yishish. Then he's going to give a ring to his sister. Say, Harei Mekudeshesli. So number one, Ein Kiddushin Tov. And number two, the child will be a mamzer. So what's a din by nida, habal nida? So the vlad is not a mamzer, and the kiddush are not tofsin. If you make, let's say, if the kallah couldn't go to mikveh before the chuppah, so you have a chuppas nida. So there are rules and regulations what to do. But kiddush are not tofsin. The gemara learns it up in the pasuk, usehi nidasa olav, usehi loshtan habaya, like it says, b'holcha b'hoysa li'ishakar. B'hoysa goes on kiddushin. Or the gemara says, makash habaya li'itziya. Just like Yitzir means to get divorced, you can get divorced. Aydei shtar, again, so to habayi, kimim kadosh anisha, kiddush shtar. So the term, kisiyena liyishtei nashim. Kisiyena means that he's married. A man is married to two wives. So the Gemara learns it out from the pasuk that kiddush and atopsin benina, and therefore also the blood is not a mamzer. So the question is, nida is clearly an exception to the rule, because usually when there's an Issa Kares, so the rule is that the and Kiddushin Tovsin and Nevelat is Mamzer. So in what way is Nida is clearly an exception to a but? In which direction? Do you say, despite the fact that Nida is Gilei Arayis, and the din would be a Hori Vayavar, nonetheless, even though it's Arayis, the din is Kiddushin Tovsin and Nevelat is not a Mamzer. What do you say? No, despite the fact that this chorus, Nida is not Gilei Arayis, and there's not Yehari Vayavar. That's exactly the reason why Kiddushin Atopsin B'Nida, Nevelat is not a Mamza, because despite the fact that this chorus, it's not called Gilei Arayis. Let's say, Akoyim B'Grusha, Yisrael B'Mamzeris. He wouldn't say Yehari Vayavar. Yisrael B'Mamzeris is an Isalav. Isalav is not all Yisrael B'ya are called Gilei Arayis. If they hold the gun to the coin's head and they say, you live with this grusha, we're going to kill you. So, pikuach nefesh is doichet. They want to shoot the kain god unless he marries a ba'ula. So, marry the ba'ula. Pikuach nefesh is doichet kola terkula. It's not Gilei Arayis. Gilei Arayis is only when it's chai decreases. So, that's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. We see clearly that Nida is an exception to the rule that there is kareis, and nonetheless, kiddush and atopsin in the vlad is not a mamzer. So, which rule is it an exception to? Is it an exception that is, despite the fact that this chorus is not called Gilei Arayis, or despite the fact that this chorus, and it is Gilei Arayis, and you do say Yehareg Vayavar, nonetheless, it's an exception to the rule that the blood is not a mamzer in Kiddush and Atos. So that's a big machlokes on Rishonim. So the Rambam writes a few times, if you look in Hilchas Yisurei Bia, the Rambam has a few chapters about Hilchas Nida. He writes a few times, Hanida B'chal Ha'arayisi, Nida is included in Gilei Arayis. And then in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Nida, they have the Mechaber quotes the Tshuva from the Ramban. The Ramban writes, according to the Rambam, that Kiruv Basar is an Isa Deraisa. Let's say Tahaganesh Sish, or to kiss someone else's wife, or someone else's wife. So that's an Isa Kiruv. That's Kiruv Basar Derechiba. So the Rambam holds that it's a Lasikavu Legala Serva. A sikva, the Gal Sarva means kira basa, to hug and to kiss, and so on, not the actual maisa there itself, but it's kira basa. So the Rambam holds that that's a din deraisa, and the Ramban holds that that's only an asmachtim of the Rabban, it's not an isa deraisa. So the Ramban has a tshuva, and the Mechaber quotes the tshuva, that according to the Rambam, that kira basa is an isa deraisa, if the wife is sick and she's a nida, and the husband is a doctor and has to treat her, so he shouldn't touch his wife's body because it's Yehareg Vayava, because Nida is an Erva. And not only did he say Yehareg Vayava on the actual Issa Kares, even on Abizrayu, even on the Issa Kira Basar, he also say Yehareg Vayava. The Shach is not so convinced that the Chosar Ramban is correct, because the only time it's an Issa Deraisa and Kira Basar, if it's Derechiba. If it's not Derechiba, the woman is sick. She's lying in bed, she's sick, and her husband is a doctor, he's trying to treat her. So that's not Derechiba. So that's only an Issa, even according to the Rambam, that's only an Issa Derabbanan, that's not an Issa Deraisa. You don't say Yehareg Vayavar on an Issa Derabbanan, only on an Issa Deraisa. So the Mechaber quotes that Chubas HaRamban, because the Mechaber writes, Kira Basar is an Issa Deraisa, and the Ramban added that Nida Labayla is Yehareg Vayavar. Nida Labayla is an Erva, that's according to the Rama. And Nida Bechlal HaRaisi. So Rabbi Natam has a tshuva regarding that. Do you say Yehareg Vayava by Nida? He says, no. The fact that the Vlad is not a Mamzer, Kedushan Atopsin, is a Hechkocha that Nida is not an Erva. Nida is an exception to the rule. Which rule? It's an exception to the rule. The rule usually is that whenever there's an Isabiyah that has Kares, then it's a similar Dovah that it's Gilei HaRaisi. So Nida, despite the fact that this curse is not Gilei Arayis, never, you don't say Yehareg Vayav. What's the logic? Why should it be an exception to the rule? So the Rabbi Natam uses the Lashon HaGemara. He says, when do you say, when there's no Tvisas Kiddushin, that that's an indication that it's an Issa Gilei Arayis, if there could have been Tvisas Kiddushin to someone else, and with this person, there's not. But Anida, there's an Issa to everybody. That's not called Gilei Arayis. That's an Issa Nida. Even to the husband, there's an Issa Nida. To everyone, there's an Issa Nida. If a woman is materis to marry other people, she's not allowed to marry her relatives, that's called Gilei Arayis. Some people, she's not allowed to marry. So he uses the Loshon HaGemara, if she's muteris to some people, only asura to these people, then it's called Gilui Arayos. That's the Loshon that it says in the Gemara, why Akam Habo Masisod the Vlad is not a Mamzer, because the Akam is also to everybody. When do you say Avlad Mamzer, when it couldn't have been Tvis Gedush between the father and the mother? That's if the mother was Asura to this man, that this man is also to this woman, but Mutta to other women. But if he's a Nachri, he's also to all the Jewish people, that's an indication that that's not the definition of Gilui Arayos. So that's the Gersa that we have in our Gemaras. Akam Haba Bas Yisrael. The Vlad is not a Mamzer because the Akam is also to all the Jewish women. So that's an indication that it's not Gilui Arayos. And you wouldn't say Yehorg Vayavar. That's the Gersa that we have. The Rashba has a different Gersa from the Ga'onim in the Chidush Rashba, not Daf, Memhei Aso in Yeromis. So the Rashba's Gersa, the Rashba quoting the Ga'onim, says like this. When do you say that the Vlad is a Mamzer if a child has a father and a mother who couldn't have had Tvisa Kedushin with each other, if the child is Mesiachas after the mother, Mesiachas after the father? Let's say a person has an affair with an Esh Yisish, or he's Baal HaChosel. So the Vlad is a Mamzer, and the Vlad is related to the father. They're both Jewish. The child is related to the father, and the child is related to the mother. But if you have Akam Habo Abbas Yisrael, the child is going to be Jewish. That's what the Mishnah says in Kiddushin. Whenever you have a mixed marriage, so if the mother is Jewish, the child is Jewish. Mother is a Nochri, the child is a Nochri. So if the mother is Jewish and the father is a Nochri, so the child is only related to the mother. Al-Pidin, he has no father. Biologically, he has a father. But Al-Pidin, it's considered like an immaculate conception. Al-Pidin, he doesn't have a father at all. Not the same, let's say, a couple is married and the woman becomes pregnant and the husband dies. So the husband is dead. So the child is no longer related to the father. The father is not alive. But Al-Pidin, he has a father. He is Mishach. He gets an Aliyah. They call him up Yosef ben Aliyah. He never knew his father. The father died before he was born. But still he's Mishach after the father. But if you have a Nochri Habo Abbas Yisrael and the child is going to be Jewish, he can't have any kurva between a Jew and a non-Jew. So Al-Pidin, even though biologically the child clearly has a father and a mother, but halachically the child has no father at all. So when do you say the child is a mamzer and the aims are, if the parents couldn't have had Tvisa Kedushin with each other, if Al-Pidin, the halacha recognizes that there are two parents, the ben is misach is after both. But if the father is an akum, the father is an ochre habo abas Yisrael, he's not misach, the baby is not misach is after the father. So Al-Pidin, there is no father. So the whole Chaloshem, Mamzeh, Me'em Zar, doesn't apply. There is no father. When there's a father and a mother, and they couldn't have had Tvisa Kedushin with each other, that's Me'em Zar. If the father's out of the picture, it can't be called a Mamzeh. Before you get, we should have backed up a little, another Hagdama. We need another Hagdama before that Hagdama. Another Hagdama. What's the din if you have a mixed marriage? We spoke a little bit about it. If you have one parent is Jewish and the other parent is not Jewish. So the Tosfos in Yevamos, the last Omid Beis and the first Perek in Yevamos, there's a Tosfos. The last Omid Beis, the second Perek in Yevamos begins on Omid Aleph. The first Perek ends on Omid Aleph, and the second Perek begins on the same Omid. But on the last Omid Beis in the first Perek, there's a little Tosfos, where Tosfos says that there are three opinions, what's the status of the child if you have a mixed marriage. So the one opinion is that in order to be Jewish, you have to have both the father and the mother have to be Jewish. If only one of them is Jewish, the child is not Jewish. Then there was a second opinion that in order to be Jewish, it's either the father or the mother. If either the father or the mother is Jewish, then the child is Jewish. And the third opinion is that it all depends on the mother. So Rabbi Kilega writes over there in the Gilyon HaShas, Tzorachion, he does know what Tosfos is talking about. Where did they see three opinions? I just see a Mishnah in Kiddushin that says it all depends on the mother. That's what we all say. If you have a mixed marriage, the status of the child depends on the mother. So the Chazon Ish in his Sefer Yevamos writes, no. The Mishnah tells you what the Psak Halacha is, but he shows clearly there are Gemaras. Those who didn't invent it from thin air. There are Gemaras. There was an opinion in the days of the Tanaim that in order for the children to be Jewish, you have to have both parents to be Jewish. There was an opinion in the days of the Tanaim that if either the father or the mother is Jewish, then the child will be Jewish. The Reform woke up after 1,500 years. After it was outvoted in the days of the Tanaim, the Reform woke up, and the conservative also wanted to adopt it. I forgot where they're holding, but they did adopt patrilineal descent or not. In Lamaskon, Halacha Maisa, we pass like the third sheet. So if you have Akam Abo Abbas Yisrael, so we assume the child is Jewish. The only question is he a mamzer or not? So that was a machlekes hatanoim. So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss over here. Akam Abo Abbas Yisrael, is the child going to be a mamzer? Let's start the Gemara. Let's start again. Amar Avad, it's about 10 lines before the wide lines begin. A mem zayim enough. Amar Avad Barab, he makes a statement and it's very unclear what he's driving at. Leviya Sheyolda, the mother, that baby is a Leviya, her father was a Levi, so she's a Bas Levi. Leviya Sheyolda, Binoa, Pata Mechamish line. Her baby does need Pidyon HaBen. So the Shaila is, why not? So the Gemara wants to know, Be'yeb Miman, from whom did she become Mu'beris? Who is the father of the baby? Who is her husband? How did she become embarrassed? If you should say, she became pregnant, her husband is a kind or a lady. So what does it have to do with she's a Leviya, even if she's a Israelis? If the father of the baby is a kind or a lady, then the baby will be a kind or a lady. That's because the Pasuk, L'mishpachosim, L'beisavosim, Mishpachasav, Kriyim, Mishpacha, Mishpachasav, Meni, Kriyim, Mishpacha, that the Pasuk in the beginning of Chumash, Bamidbar, the Gemara quotes. So why did Rav Ada Bar Abba say Leviya Sheyolda? What did it have to do with Leviya? It's because the father is a Kohen or a Levi, that's why. The Yeba Miman, whom did she become pregnant from? Lema, if you're going to say the case is the Yeba Mikohen or Levi, the husband is either a Kohen or a Levi, the Mayuya Leviya. Why did Rav Ada Bar Abba say if the mother is a Leviya? No, I feel you say this, not me. Even if the mother is Israelis, but the father is a kind of lady, so the baby that was born is a kind of lady, but did you not know that? Ella, the answer is no. The Abram Israel, the husband is neither a kind nor a lady, he's Israel. So how do you come off to say that if the mother is a Leviya, the child is a lady, and there's no pidyon aben? No, but the pasuk says lemishpachasim lebeis abayisim k'zir, and that pasuk teaches that mishpachas abkoyim mishpacha. Mishpacha same, ain't a Kriya Mishpacha. That's what we pointed out, I think, 2 weeks ago. Rav Soloveitchik got this from a Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch on the mitzvah of Piri Berivya, on the very first mitzvah of Piri Berivya, he explains that there are two halashemas of kurva. There's a kurva of Mishpacha and a kurva of Sher Basar. So by Gili Arayis, it says, Ishi Shal Shel Psor La Sikavu La Gala Servo. The kurva, that's the list of prohibited relatives that you're not allowed to marry, that's called shebasa. Why? It's not called mishpacha, because mishpacha only applies to mishpacha sav. Mishpacha same is not called mishpacha. But shebasa it is, both the father side and the mother side. It's called shebasa. Minchas Chinuch has a whole, he shows that it's a machlekes Rashi and the Rambam and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, when you say, Ebed ein lo yachas, avodim, don't have any kurva at all. Let's say an Eved was living with a Shivcha Knaitis and he has a son and a daughter. So are the children Messiachas after him at all? It's neither Sher Basar Minator. The Eved is allowed to marry his sister. The Eved is allowed to live with his daughter. No kurva at all. That he's saying, no, maybe there's no kurva of Mishpacha. Maybe there is kurva of Sher Basar. So the Menchas Chinuch points out that's a machlekes Rashi and the Rambam. How to read the Gemara in Sanhedrin? Maybe Eved ain't lo yachas. The Gemara learns that from the story in this week's Seder by the Akedah. Atem shulachem poem achamor. Avram Avinu tells shnei yoredim tu avarim k'vainim. He says shulachem poem achamor amadayim lachamor. Just like chamor, there's no yuchsin. There's no. You don't say plenty ben plenty by behemoths. So too by Eved, there's no yachas. There's no kurva. So the Menchas Chinuch showed that's a machlekes Rashi and Rambam. There's no kurva of mishpacha, but there is kurva of shebasa, or there isn't even kurva of shebasa. No kurva at all. That's a machlekes Rashi. So the Gemara asks over here, what's the case of Rav Ada Bar Abba, that the Leviya Sheyolda is part of from Chamish Lon? If the husband, the father of the baby, is a Yisrael, so the baby is not a Kohen or a Levi. The baby's going to be Yisrael. So just because the mother is a Levi, so therefore the child is Pater from Pidyan Ben. Why should he be Pater? The child, it says, L'mishpachos from the Beis HaBaisam. Mishpach HaSav, Kohen Mishpach, Mishpach HaSav, any Kohen Mishpach. So the Gemara says, it must be that what he meant was the following. And for the Gemara, the Eber, and for the Amar HaPapa, the Eber Me'avikacham, the Levia became pregnant from a Nochri. She's living with a Nochri. So therefore what? So the child is Jewish because the mother is Jewish. The father is a Nochri. So there's no kurva between the father and the child at all. No kurva whatsoever. Can't be any kurva between Israel and a Nochri. So when so the Gemara seems to be implying, when do you say Mishpacha Sab Kriyim Mishpacha Mishpacha Sab Kriyim Mishpacha, if there's a father and a mother and each one wants to give Kurva of Mishpacha, then you say Mishpacha Sab wins. But if the father is not in the running, the father's a Nochri and the baby is Jewish because the mother is Jewish and the baby is Jewish. So the child who is Jewish can't be related to the father's self. He didn't have no father, zero. There is no father. So then you say, Mishpacha Seim is Kriya Mishpacha. That's a simple Pshat Negemar. So then, since the mother is a Levi, so the baby is a Levi, the baby will be a Levi. So that's the Pasha Pshat Negemar. But this is, we explained 2 weeks ago, this is very problematic because we mentioned that in Perek Yesh Nochlin, the Gemara says that Yerusha, the Kriya Mishpacha Yarshin, Gemara said, the Pasuk says, if he has children, he has brothers, a father, it says, and the one next in line, Mishpachto v'yarashayso. The Gemara says, only Mishpachasav kriyim Mishpacha, Mishpachasav meinu kriyim Mishpacha. Let's say, my cousin from my mother's side dies. There are no relatives alive. And we're holding, I'm a first cousin. I can't yarshin. I'm related, that's called Sheher Basa. I'm related to my cousin, but that's a kurva of Sheher Basa. That's not a kurva of Mishpacha. And the Pasuk by Yerusha says it depends on Mishpachta b'Yorashayisa. Has to be a relative of Mishpacha. So Kroivim mitzad v'ayim never get Yerusha. So the Gemara quotes, so a mother doesn't yarshin her son. If a man dies, so if his father is alive, the father gets the Yerusha. If the father's not alive, that's not correct. If someone dies, his children get the Yerusha. If there are no children, then the father gets the Yerusha. The father's not alive, then the brothers get. If the brother's not alive, then their children get. And then whoever is the closest relative gets the Yerusha. But the Gemara says, even if all the close relatives are not alive, the mother never yarshins the child. Why? Because it's Mishpachasein. Mishpachasein meaning Kri Mishpach, and the mother doesn't get. So the Gemara quotes one time and says, Ha'em Yeresh says Binoah. If the son dies, the mother does yarshin the son. So Tosafot said, how can it be? But Yerusha only goes to the Kerovim who have the status of Mishpacha. So Tosafot says, they're talking about a case where the father's a goy or the father's a ger. The father of the child. So there is no Mishpacha Sav. Period. There is no Mishpacha Sav. So when do you say Mishpacha Sav, ain't a great Mishpacha? If there's Mishpacha Sav and Mishpacha Sav, so Mishpacha Sav takes Kedima. But if there's no Mishpacha Sav to speak on about at all, the father's a guy. So the child is not related to the father. Or the father was a ger, let's say, a ger shemez mein lo yarshim. So there's no relatives at all from Mishpacha Sav. So the relatives from Mishpacha Sav get the Yerushim. That's that Tana, one Tana. But the Gemara said, we don't pass on like that Tana. Why not? So we assume the halacha that Mishpacha Sem ain't a Kriya Mishpacha, never. Mishpacha Sem never Kriya Mishpacha. Not when both parents, each parent wants to give a kurva of Mishpacha to the child, so Mishpacha Sem of is stronger, wins. No, even if there's no father to speak about at all, Mishpacha Sem is never Kriya Mishpacha. So how do you understand this Gemara? That's problematic. You can't understand the Gemara to mean that since the father is Nochri and there is no Mishpacha Sav, therefore Mishpacha Sav is Kriya Mishpacha. So we're going to have to continue the Gemara. We'll see in a few minutes. We'll have to read some more Gemara. What does it mean? So that's the first version of Ravada Barava. What he said was, if the Levia was living with a Nochri and they have a child, So then, since the mother is a Leviya, so the baby is a Levi. Since the baby is a Levi, because there's no father to speak about at all, the father is an Ochri, the Vlad is not Mesiach, is after the father, so therefore the child is a Levi. That's the question. He gets the first Aliyah. That's what we said in Amsterdam. There used to be so much, 70, 80 years ago, there used to be so much intermarriage, so the rabbi, there used to be a Rabbi Yost, used to be the rabbi in Amsterdam. So he used to write, every couple of months he would write in Hapardes, that's a Torah journal that used to be published in America, he used to write about this. He always used to say that if the father's a Nochri and the mother's a Leviya, then the child gets the second Aliyah, and the child is Jewish, and the child gets the second Aliyah, and the Rav Chaim assumes in his Sefer on the Rambam that it's not true. So that's the question, how do you read this Gemara? So let's see. So now the Gemara says, this din, the Ebbet Me'avi Kochavim, the father is a Goy, and the mother is a Leviya, so the child doesn't need Pinyan Adin. Well, I tell and you shouldn't say, it's only Aliv and Ma'anam, Eim is Amin Sablad, that's not true. I feel Ma'anam is Amin Sablad, Levi Pasam Nikri. What do you mean, Mizamin is Sablad? What do the words mean? So here there's a machlik, it's Rashi and Taisus, men are kotza la kotza, opposites from each other. Zuhama means dirt, filth. So what does it mean? So Rashi translates, A mizamin is Avlad means the Vlad is not a mamzer. Mizamin is Avlad means the Vlad is a mamzer. The Gemara is alluding to that machlik is hatanoim by Akma Habba Abbas Yisrael, whether the Vlad is a mamzer or not. And the Gemara's maskan is, the Vlad, the Gemara in Yivamis comes to the maskan, the Vlad is not a mamzer. So that's what Rashi says. But leitema, and don't say, it's only Aliv Man Diyama, Eim is Aminus Avlad. Rashi said, the blood is not a mamzer. Why is the blood not a mamzer? So Rashi says, because when miyachis the child after the mother, if he miyachis the child after the father, Rashi said, the zoom target point and say the blood is a mamzer. Because he has a father and the mother couldn't have tfisis kedushin. But if you say, Eim is Aminus Avlad, the blood is not a mamzer, it means you only miyachis him after the father. That's what Rashi says. You only miyachis him after the mother. So lo tema, don't say that the Vlad is a Levi because the mother is a Leviya. Why? Because the Vlad is only miyachis after the mother, not if. Eim is Aminus. Lo tema, the psak, that there's no pinyan, then it's only the man diyamer. Eim is Aminus Avlad, that the Vlad is not a mamzer. Why? Because you only miyachis the child after the mother. The mother's a Leviya, so the child is a Levi. Wrong. Even if you say the blood is a mamzer, why? Because it's a misachas after the father also, that makes him a mamzer. So is he going to be a mamzer? So what? He'll be a Levi and he'll be a mamzer at the same time. That's what the Gemara says, Levi pasul nikri. He'll be a Levi because there's no misachas tav, so mishpachasim is mishpachas, so he'll be a Levi. But he'll be a Levi pasul. Levi pasul means a mamzer. He can be a mamzer and a Levi at the same time. That's how Rashi reads the Gemara. Tosfos does not agree with Rashi. Tosfos says the translation is not correct. Rashi learns mezamenes avlad means we declare the child is a mamzer. Eim mezamenes avlad means we declare the child is not a mamzer. They said no, it's just the reverse. Because the Gemara has an agadita when Tosfos dibamasu v'loy tema. Tosfos quotes the agadita from Shabbos Daf Kufna above. B'shor shebo nochash al chava. So, the Gemara says, when we stood at Har Sinai, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed the Aseres HaDibros, just the Maimon Har Sinai itself. That's what we say in Dayenu. Ilu kervanu lefne Har Sinai v'lo nosal nanas HaTorah Dayenu. So all the Mephoreshim on the Haggadah asked, what do you mean? Kervanu lefne nosal nanas HaTorah. So what was accomplished by Maimon Har Sinai? Nothing. If the Baruch Hashem didn't give the Torah, that's what they call from Adobala Salavechi. No. The Gemara said, B'shoshe bo nochash al chava hitam bozu amo. Yisosh omdo ha-sinai, from the pachad, the maimon ha-sinai, the zuhamo left the Jewish people. So even if kevara lefneser v'loina ha-salman ha-satar, even if he wouldn't have given us any mitzvahs at all, just the maimon ha-sinai itself accomplished something tremendous, that Pascha Hazuam, but the Gomes Oilum, who were not present at Maimon HaSinai, by them the Zuama was never Pascha. So Tosfos translates the words of the Gemara just the opposite from Rashi. Labandrama aim is aminas avlad means that the vlad is not nisyachas after the mother. Mizaminas, I said it wrong. The opposite. How did Rashi say mizamin means you declare that vlad is a mamzer? Aim zamin the vlad is not a mamzer. Tosfos says no. Kishibo nocha shalchav hitol bazuama. Yisol shom lahasina paska zuamasim. The umasodim loyom doan hasinai loy paska zuamasim. So when the Gemara has the expression aim zaminas avlad means the vlad over here where the father is a nochri and the mother is a leviya, the vlad doesn't have any zuhama because he's not related to the father. And the zaminas avlad means that the vlad is related to the father. And what does that mean with respect to mamzeres? So Tosfos means just the opposite from Rashi. According to Tosfos, there's only a din of mamzeres by Jewish people. By Nochrim, there is no din of mamzeres. Let's say by Nochrim, the Nochrim have a list of arayos also. So let's say a Nochri lives with a sister, or lives with an Eshes Ish, and they have children. So you're going to say the children are mamzerim. The Ma'inaf Kamina, a Nochri is permitted to marry a mamzer. But let's say anochri habal eshes ish anochri balachos, so the children are mamzerim, and then if the child is going to convert, he's going to be Jewish now, but he's going to be a mamzer. So the din is no, there's only mamzeres by Israel. In order to be a mamzer, you have to first be Jewish. If you're not Jewish, there's no din of mamzeres. So that's the discussion over here. Akam habal bas Yisrael, if mizaminus of vlad means that the vlad has a little bit of nochrius in him. Because the father's an Ochri. He's not a full Yisrael. He's not a full, he's a half guy. Because his father's an Ochri. So if he's not fully Jewish, he can't be a mamzer at all. But if you hold aim is aminus of vlad, there's no zuhama in the vlad. The father did have zuhama. The father was an Ochri. But there's no kesher between the vlad and the father. So there's no zuhama in the vlad. So the vlad is a full 100% Yisrael. It's not just 95% Yisrael. He's 100% Yisrael, that he will be a mamzer. Tosfos says, it's just, they quote a Gemara. He say, "Kamosha pirashdi mucha b'sof parakamadi yivomus." What they're explaining is the opposite from Rashi. If the vlad is misyachas only after the mother, then he can be a mamzer. If he's misyachas both after the father, the nochri, and the mother, so he's an incomplete kedushi, so doesn't have a full din of Yisrael, doesn't have a full din of Yisrael, he can't be a mamzer. So that's what, according to Rashi and Tosfos, the Maskanas HaGemara is going to be the same. The only question, how do you translate the words? Tosfos is just the opposite from Rashi. Aim is aminus avlad, according to Rashi, means the vlad is not a mamzer because he's only misachas after the mother. And Tosfos says the reverse. Aim is aminus avlad means the nochrim have zuhama. Aim is aminus avlad means there's no nochrius in the vlad. You ignore the father. Ignore the father. The vlad is 100% Jewish. Then he can't. Then he will be a mamzer. That's the opposite from the way Rashi learns. But the upshot is the same. Whether you hold akam al basa vlad mamzer or not, but the vlad over here will be a levi posel mikri. So some understood the Gemara literally. The child can get the second aliyah. But as we said, the pashtus says that we don't paskel like that. There was one tana in Yeshnach who held like that. That the only time you say mishpacha, same ainer kriya mishpacha, the mother doesn't convey the status of the child coin lady Israel, is only if the father's offering his yachas, then mishpacha sav kriya mishpacha, mishpacha same ainer kriya mishpacha. But if there's no mishpacha sav to speak of at all, then mishpacha same is kriya mishpacha. So there was such a tana said like that by Yerusha. We don't accept his opinion. So the pashto says you can't read the Gemara kipshuto. The child will be a levi posel mikri. He's not a levi. He's a levi ben igir to pidyon haben. It's along the lines of the next pshat. The next pshat, that the first pshat was Rapapa. Rapapa gave this pshat, levi posel mikri. Ma brei der adei sevamim is made the rabbi a different pshat. No, the olam de'eba me Yisrael. We said before, leviya she'olda, a boy, a baby boy, so there's no need for pidyon haben. So the Gemara said, Who's the father of the baby? If the father of the baby is a kohen or levi, it's because the father, not because of the mother. Even if the mother would have been a Yisraelis, if the father is a kohen or a levi, The child is patur from pidyon haben. The baby is a kind of a lady. So the first pshat, Rav Papa gave the first pshat, said, Rav Abba Bar Abba only said it in a case where the father is an ochri. And Rabbi says, no, afil tamei abin Yisrael. Shani hasim, pidyon haben is different. Da makra, pet rechem, tala rachmana. The rechem of a levi is patur, shani. So it's a long, that's how we, and Taisi said, we pass like Rabbi. We don't pass like Rav Papa, the first pshat. That's what Taisus writes, the second half of the Taisus. My brain, the Rav Yosef, I'm a Mishmei, the Rav. Taisus writes, Baho, after the parentheses. They write, Baho, Samchinon, Hashta. We rely on this opinion of Rav and the Gemara. Lift up Ben Levi of the Kohenis, as she's told me, Chom Islam, the father's a Yisrael, but the mother's a Kohenis, a Levi, so the child is part of him, Pidyon Ben. Because the Petarechim Tala Rachmana, and if it's a Petarechim of a Kohenis or a Levi, so the Vlad is part of him, Pidyon Ben. So the Padish, this is the first sheet, the Rav Papa, he didn't agree with Rav. That says we don't pass him like him, we pass like Rav, because that's what it says in the other Gemara. Kavase Paskinah Bechulim, Daf Kuflam and Beis. Bahasam Chinim, we rely on that, we pass like Rav, yeah. So along the same lines as Rav, the Petarechim Tala Rachmana, so that's, you have to say the same pshat in Rav Papa. Not that he holds, but whenever there's no mishpachas of that mishpachas name, is kriyah mishpacha, and the baby is a Levi, and he gets a second aliyah. Mishkan Levi. We don't paskan like that. Even when there is no mishpachas of, mishpachas name is still not kriyah mishpacha. It's a din along the lines of Petarechim Tala Rachmana. Whenever the father is a goy, and there's no ziyachas at all, then you say the Petarechim Tala Rachmana. But if the father is a But if the father is a Yisrael, and the Vlad is Misachas after the father, you don't say the Petarechim Tala Rachmana, according to Rav Papa. And we pass like Rav, the Petarechim Tala Rachmana. Then the Gemara is going to say later, when you get to the last line on the Omer, the Gemara is going to explain the Leviya, let's say today, the husband's name is Mr. Levi, so the wife is called Mrs. Levi. She's not a Leviya. Her father was a Yisrael. She's a Yisraelist. Well, we call her a Leviya because she's married to a Levi, and all of her children will be Levi, because her husband is a Levi. So it could be that that's what he meant before. Amar Avada Bar Abba Leviya Sheyolda. It's probably not what he meant, because that's Mishnah. A kohen or a Levi is part of Pidyon HaBen. But the Gemara is going to say later like that, in a brisa like that. Leviya Sheyolda, if Mrs. Levi has a baby, then it's not Chiyah Pidyon HaBen, because she's Mrs. Levi because her husband is a Levi. So the baby is a Levi. If the father's a Levi, the baby's going to be a Levi. So of course it's part of Pidyon HaBen. The Gemara is going to say that later, that sometimes in the language, in the terminology of the Tanaim, they'll refer to a woman as a Leviya. It doesn't mean that she's a Bas Levi. She's married to Mr. Levi, so the Mela, she's Mrs. Levi. That's what it means, Levi. So that's what the Gemara is going to ask Akasha from the Mishnah. Where is it? Tanan, here, in the third white line. Tanan, it says in the Mishnah gives you examples of cases where the baby is a p'chor in each Pidyon HaBen, he's a p'chor l'koin, but it's not a p'chor with respect to Pishnai. So it says in the Mishnah, Tanan, Mishoy l'banim, a person had children from his first wife dies, and he marries a second wife. Second wife never had any children before. Misha Hoyla Bonim, the husband already has children, Asa Isha, his second wife is Shalo Yolda, she never had any children before. So what's the din in that case? So the husband has to do Pidyon HaBen a second time. He did Pidyon HaBen the first child that he had with the first wife who was a boy. So he did Pidyon HaBen, but the first wife dies. Now he has the first child from the second wife. So the first child from the second wife, I'm not going to get Pishnayim. Only one child, the first baby boy. If the first child from the first wife was a boy, he's going to get Pishnayim. The first child from the second wife, I'm not going to get Pishnayim. It depends on ratios or no, the first child of the husband. But the first child from the second wife will need Pidyon HaBen. Even though he already did Pidyon HaBen on the child's first child from the first wife, has to do again a Pidyon HaBen on the first child from the second wife. So the Mishnah says that's a case. Hoy Labanim, he already had children from the first wife, and that's Isha, and the first wife died, he marries the second wife, Shalei Yolda, and then she has the first child as a boy, So that baby boy is a b'chor, the kohen v'ein b'chor l'nachla. He doesn't get pishna. Fine. Semicolon. The Mishnah is going to give a few cases where the baby is a b'chor l'kohen, then he eats pidyon aben, and he's not a b'chor l'nachla, he doesn't get pishna. What's the second case? Nizgarim u'beris or nishtachkarim u'beris. That's the second case. A non-Jewish woman is pregnant, and then she converts. So that's what we call the baby's hairosu shalah bigdusha, where it does a bigdusha. Let's say she converts in the middle of the fifth month. She's going to convert, and there should be tevel in the mikvah in the middle of the fifth month. So the din is that you need pidyon aben, petarech mison, you need pidyon aben, but that baby is not going to get pishnayim, because gershon has got cotton shenola dami. He's not related, whoever the father was, whether the father was Jewish or a goy, but now the baby was a gershon nizgayer. The mother was nizgayer, so the baby's not going to be related, not going to be related to the father at all. So he's not going to get pishnayim. So that's the second case. Nizgayer muberes and shtach muberes. Then the third case is you have to cross out the vav. Third case is like this: two women gave birth in the hospital at the same time. One is married. One is a kohenis and one is israelis. And then they don't know whose baby is whose. But today you can't have such a thing. Today we're going to make, you can tell genetically, by the genes or by the blood type, they're going to figure out who's the father of the baby, who's the mother of the baby. Today you can figure everything out. But in the days of the Tanaim, they didn't know. So they have the third case in the Mishnah, is Yolda, he, the kohenis, a normal woman and a kohenis, each one gave birth to a baby, so you don't know whose baby is whom. So the husband of the woman who's not a kohenis has to do pidyon aben. He doesn't know which baby is his. So they'll make up shara. He'll take one baby and the other family will take the other baby. But when the father dies, when either husband dies, this baby cannot claim, I want Yerusha. Maybe this baby belonged to the other couple. We don't know. The father of this baby had, we don't know who the father is of which baby, but each husband has other babies. So the other babies are badai his. So you say, the others are considered mukhsa. Even at the time that the father died, no one's holding on to the assets of the father. That's all the money's in the bank, or whatever, or stocks and bonds or whatever. But the Yoshim are considered Mukhsak. That's called Brokar Dabub. Mukhsak means it's Bishusai. So the Halacha says that when a person dies, the Yoshim are, since all of the assets of the one who died was Shaloyu Bishusai, so the Yoshim get it. So whoever is a Yorish Vadai is considered Mukhsak on the Nechasim. And then one of the children was a Suffolk. It was a mix up in the hospital. They never knew who was whose baby. So that child cannot claim, he cannot come and say, I want to get pishnayim. He doesn't get any Yerusha at all. Maybe he's someone else's child. He doesn't get any Yerusha at all. If the both babies who are mixed up will both come and say, Mimarashach, either he's the child or I'm the child, so give us one share of the Yerusha and we'll split it between the two of us. That's the Gemara's going to say on the base. That's a different story. You can do that. But if only one of the two children who got mixed up in the hospital, one set of parents took one child, the other set of parents took the other child. Each one is misupik whether this is their baby or not, so we don't know. The one set of parents moved to Eretz Yisrael, the other set of parents lives here in America. So then when the father dies, they're not in touch with them. Maybe they won't be in touch with the other one. So if the both babies who were mixed up together, the both come, when one of the fathers dies, they both come in the same imanavshah. Either I'm the son, he's the son, so you have to give us at least one share, and then we should be entitled, and then we'll divide it among the two of us, because we don't know. So the Gemara says, fine, if they do that, it's good. But if only one of them comes forward, the other one lives in the other part of the world, the other one lives on Eretz Yisrael, so that's the case. The father of the baby is chayv to do pidyon aben, even though he doesn't know which is his baby. Let's say the father is learning in Eretz Yisrael, and the mother had the baby in New York. Years ago, the father went to learn in yeshiva in Europe, and the mother had gave birth to the baby in New York. The father can do the pidyon aben there without having any baby in front of him. He knows the baby was born, he knows the baby is alive. On Yom HaMiralt, he can do pidyon aben without the baby. we have a practice that the Kohen is, by my boy is Tvei, would you prefer to have your baby? But that's all Menhogim, Ikaradin. You don't have to have the baby present at all when you do the Pidyon HaBen. You have the meaning that the Kohen holds the money and he holds it on top of the head of the baby. He says the baby should be nifta on this money, but that's all Menhogim. Ikaradin, you don't need that. So that's the third case in the Mishnah, that the baby is a b'chor, the Kohen vein a b'chor, the Nachla. Yodahi, the Kohenis, two women had a baby. A regular woman and a Kohenis. He or Leviah, a regular woman and a Leviah. He, Isha Shekra Yodah. A regular woman, the first time having a baby, and Isha Shekra Yodah, the other woman already had babies. So then they mixed up the babies, you don't know who's who. Or a fourth case. There's a din with the Rabbanon. We want to know who the father of the baby is. So a woman shouldn't, let's say a husband died or a husband divorced his wife. So there's a din with the Rabbanon. The Gemara learns it from a pasuk, but the Pnei Yeshua is quoted in Shulchan Aruch as saying it's only an asmachta. It's not a real din there, right? So you need havchana. When the husband dies or the husband divorces his wife, you have to wait 92 days, 3 full months, not counting the day on which the husband died and not counting the day on which she remarries. So that adds up to 92 days. 90 full days in between. The first day of the 92 days is the day on which she got the get, or the day on which the husband died. And the 92nd day is the day on which she's remarrying, with 90 full days in between. So that's havchana in order to know if the woman was pregnant from the first husband, so we will already notice it by the end of 3 months. It cannot be that she's pregnant 3 months, we won't notice it. We'll know that she's pregnant. So we'll know who the father of the baby is, whether the first husband or the second husband. So that's the fourth case that's mentioned in the Mishnah on Daf Memvav and Menal. A woman didn't observe the Takana de Rabbanan, she didn't wait the 92 days, and then she gave birth to a baby after 8 months, and you don't know whether the baby was from the first husband or the second husband. So the baby, when it grows up, has to do Pidyon HaBen. Neither the first husband nor the second husband has to do Pidyon HaBen. First husband says, it's not my baby, I'm Oitzim Maharel of Harai. You don't say Sofik Deraisa Luchumet Derefta to Sofik Pidyon HaBen, you have to do it. The Mishnah is going to say, you treat it like Sofik Mamayna Lakula. If there's a suffix where they have to do Pidyon HaBen, you say suffix Mamana Lakula, the father of the baby is Muchsik on the money, he doesn't do Pidyon HaBen. But when the baby, here the suffix is, we don't know which husband is the father of the baby, the first husband or the second husband. But the baby itself certainly needs Pidyon HaBen, so when the baby grows up, he's going to have to do Pidyon HaBen. But when either the first husband dies or the second husband dies, the baby doesn't get any Yerusha. Not only does he not get Pishnayim, the Gemara is going to say he doesn't get any Yerusha at all. Maybe he's the baby of the other man. Who says he's a child of this husband? Maybe the child of the other husband. So those were the four cases that the Mishnah gave, that the baby needs Pidyon HaBen. When the child grows up, he has to make his own Pidyon HaBen. But he doesn't get any Pishnayim, not from the first husband, not from the second husband. Because I'm not sure whose child he is. So the Gemara says, what was the second case mentioned in the Mishnah again? What was the second case? Where was it again? Tanan, here, the third white line we just read. That's the first case. The man was married, he did Pidyon HaBen the first child, then the first wife died, he marries a second woman who never had any children before. So the first child she has needs Pidyon HaBen, but he doesn't get Pishnayim. Well, that's the first case. Then the second case was Nizkama Bet Hashtat Muberes. Okay. Then the third case was that. The third case. Yolda, he, the Kohenes, semicolon. He, Olivia, semicolon. He, Isha Shekra Yolda. Two women gave birth and the babies got mixed up. You don't know whose is whose. So Yolda, he, the Kohenes. One is a Kohenis, one is not. So because she's a Kohenis, the child doesn't need Pidyon HaBen. Wait a minute, who's the husband? So the Gemara asks, who's the husband? If the husband is a Kohen or a Levi, so what's the difference of whether she's a Kohenis or a Levi? If the husband is a Kohen or a Levi, so the child doesn't need Pidyon HaBen. And so you see from the Gemara, you see Lachar from the Gemara, even though the husband is a Yisrael, and the baby is not going to be a Kohen or a Levi, but since the mother is a Kohen, the mother is a Levi, there's no Pidyon HaBen. So the Gemara said, that's what Rava, that sounds like what Rava said. Unless you want to say again that the case, a funny case, that the father's a Goy, okay, that's what the Gemara is going to say. So the Gemara says, the Gemara quoted the whole case. Then the Gemara said, Michlal, what do you see from the Mishnah? The inference is that Kohenes or Levi Pturim. If the mother or the baby is a Kohenes or Levi, even though the husband is not a Kohen or Levi, there's no Chiyapinyan Aben. So the Gemara wants to know, wait a minute, the Yebam Miman. Who does she become pregnant from? If you're going to say the Yebam Mikohen or Levi, the father of the baby, the husband of the woman, is either a Kohen or Levi. So my year, you're Kohenes or Levi. I feel about Sol Nami. Even if she's not a Kohenist, the child is part of Pidyon HaBen, because the father is a Kohen HaLevi. Ella must be, the Ebbe Miyav V'Kachavim. The Ebbe Miyav V'Kachavim, the father is a Goy. So the Gemara says, it can't be. The Gemara says, it can't be. We said before, if a Leviya becomes Mehuberis from a Goy, so since the father is out of the picture, the Vlad is not Mesachas after the father, the mother is a Levia, so the baby is going to be a Levi apostle. Would you say the same if the father is a Goy and the mother is a Kohenes? So the Gemara says, Kohenes, Ptura, is that true? The Ebbe Mabbe Kachavim, the husband, in other words, the father of the baby is a Nochri, and the mother is a Kohenes, and the child is Potter from Pidyon HaBen. For the Gemara, it's not correct. The din is not true. So Omer, our papa was a young child, a teenager, I guess, and he was learning Mishnayos. So he says, Bodiklon Rabba was testing us to see if we knew the Mishnayos well. So he asked us, he gave us a faher, he gave us a bechidus. He said, what's the din? Kohenes is sabra ma'avi kachavim mahu. What's the din if a Kohenes is living with a Nochri and they have a Beidi? Does it need Pidyon HaBen? And I said, on my own, I thought I was the big genius. I thought I knew all the halachas. And I said, Lav Hanada Ravada Barava, isn't that what Ravada Barava said? What? The Omar Leviya, she all the Menapot, the Mechamish Loim. If the father's a Goy, mother's a Leviya, so the Vlad is a Levi Pogum, Levi Puzzle, so here also. The father's a Goy, the mother's a Kohenes, so the child will be a Kohen Pogum. Rabba, who was giving me the faher, said, you're wrong. He gave me a pchina to see if I know the dinim. So he said to me, Hoche hashta, there's no tushta. Vishleim a Leviya. If the Leviya was married to a goy, even if she's living with a goy, she's never a pasala. She's still considered a Leviya. She still retains the status of Leviya. Kedushas Levi. The Tanya, we have a brisa, Leviya shenish base. If a woman is a shvuya, b'yad ha-nochrim, so that's Mishnais in the second perik in Ksubis, it depends why were they holding her in prison. If they're holding her in prison for tax evasion or she owes money or something, so they're not going to rape her in the prison. They'll bring the prison guards to court. They'll penalize them. They'll punish them if they rape the woman. But if she's a shvuya, at least kenefashis, they put her in prison, they're holding her in prison, because they're discussing whether they're going to give her the death penalty or not. So then they may rape her. So that's a din midrabbanan, even though she swears on a Bible that she was not nivalom. But that's a din midrabbanan, that the shvuya is asura lekoyin. The din is that the chumash gives a list of women that the kohen is not allowed to marry. Yishu grusha v'zayna v'chalala. What's called Zaina? So Zaina is Nivala Pasala. Nivala Pasala is a Zaina. Let's say a woman was Nivala to a Goy, Eved, Mamzer, Cholo. Nivala Pasala. I remember someone once said a riddle. Echi Timtze, a Jewish girl, was married and she got divorced. And she's allowed to marry a kohen. A riddle. How can it be? So I said, it can't be. So he said, no, she was married to a goy. and therefore she didn't need the get. So the Kiddushin are not Tovsim between a Jew and a Jewish woman and a Goy. So therefore she didn't need the get, so that's not called Grusha. So I said, Bishasu Lakona, anyway, that's a din of Nidalal Apostle. If a woman was Nensa by a Goy, a Nivalot Goy, she's not Latin American. So the Balabas didn't know that din. He thought his Biddle was Gevaldin. It's not correct. If a woman is Nivalal Akum, she's Nivalal Apostle Psola, she becomes a Zaina. What if, let's say, the girl she goes to college and she every month she has a different boyfriend. She sleeps with this one, she sleeps with that, but she's careful, always Jewish boys. She never nivelled to a goy. So, what's a din pana habal apnuya? So there's one tana, Rab Loza, the tana, is of the opinion, pana habal apnuya, I saw a zayna. It's also called a zayna. And the way we have the Gers and the Gemara, it says we don't paskin like that. We don't paskin like the Tana. She's a Zayna. What if she's a Zayna Kipshuta? Every week she sleeps with a different boyfriend. If she has one boyfriend for 1 year, next year she has a different boyfriend, next year a different boyfriend. For a long time she's living with one boy. So that's not called, and all the boys are Jewish, so that's not called Nivalol Apostolo. That's not called Nivalol Apostle. So, but every week she sleeps with someone else. That's a Zayna Kipshuta. So that's a Machlokes HaTanoim. So the Rambam Paskin in that case is not called the Zayna. She's Materis Lekuhuna. And the Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer writes, and even though the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like the Rambam, he thinks that it's Kedai to be Choshish for the other Rishayim, the Smag and the Smag. He quotes other Rishayim who Paskin like the Tana, that Zayna Kipshuta. Every week she sleeps with a prostitute. Every week she sleeps with someone else. Levi gives her money, so she'll sleep with him. So there are those who are machma, even though all of the boyfriends were Jewish, there are Rishonim who paskan like that Tana, and the Beis Shmuel recommends that Bnei Torah should be choshish for that shita, that a kohen shouldn't marry such a woman. Yeah. So the Rambam, when the Rambam writes it, then he writes, let's say, a woman doesn't observe Taras HaMishpacha. And she sleeps with her husband, and then the husband died. If the husband divorces her, she's a grusha asur l'kohen. The husband dies, so an amana is permitted to marry a kohen. Is she called a zayna? Because she violated an isakaris. Every time she was with her husband, she violated an isakaris. And the Rambam says, no, that's not called nivalal apostolo. Or take, for example, the woman was married to a cholol. A girl was married to a cholol. A cholol, a kohen marries a grusha, so all the children are cholol. So a woman married a cholol is het gomer. Even a kohen is permitted to marry a cholol. A kohen is not permitted to marry a cholol. If a man marries a kohen, marries a grusha, and has a daughter, so the daughter is a cholol. So a kohen is not allowed to marry her. But let's say a girl is a kohenes, the father is a kohen, the girl is a kohen. She's permitted to marry a cholo. She's permitted to marry a cholo. And then the husband dies. That's called nivalol apostolo, even though it's behet gomer. It was behet gomer. It said a bracha on the chuppah of the kiddushin. She's permitted to marry a cholo. So the Rambam says, hola, marito, the upshot of this story is that to declare that the girl is a zaynasu, a kohen, doesn't depend whether there was an isabiyah done or not. If the girl married a cholol, is behet gomer. Behet gomer. And if the girl violated isa nida, she violated isa kares, she does not become a zayna. So the Rambam says, hola marato, the upshot of the story is that zayna depends on nivalal apostolo, whether the man, the man who with whom she had bia, did he have a chalashem psul on him? So if the man with whom she had tashmush was either akam eved, cholo, nosen, mamzer, so then she's nivalol apostolo, even though it was behet gomer. She's allowed to marry a cholo. It was behet gomer still, but there's a chalashem psul on the gavra, so she's called nivalol apostolo psul. But according to the Rambam, even if every week she has a different boyfriend, mamish is zayna kipshuta, that's not called zayna. She's materis lekuhuna. And the Beis Shmuel recommends that we should be choshes for the Rishonim of Paschal like the other Tana. And Yevam is that Zayna Kipshuta. Every week she has a different boyfriend. That's Zayna Kipshuta. But Rav Shlomo Kluger writes on the side of the big Shulchan Aruch Ebenezer, That's if every week she has a different boyfriend. That's Zayna Kipshuta. But if 1 year she's living with one boyfriend, she's careful about it. Next year, a different boyfriend every year, and they're all Jewish, and no one's a chal al nasim mamza ever akum. So then that's pan habol apnuya. The pan habol apnuya, we don't follow that tan. No one is machma like that. Tan called our gears and the gemar. Some Jews didn't have that gears, but our gears and the gemar Yevamos is leis lachosh lehader Rav Lazer. Nobody is machma like Rav Lazer. The Rav Lazer holds that pan habol apnuya shalodesh anishus asur zayna. Yeah. So again, so the Mishnah gave a whole bunch of cases. The Mishnah said, two women had a baby, and the babies got mixed up. You don't know whose babies is whom. So the father knows that his wife had gave birth to a baby boy, so he has to give the yaben, but he doesn't know which is his baby. So when the father dies, neither baby is going to get pishnayim, neither baby is going to get Yerusha, because all the other children will say, maybe you're not even our brother. Maybe you belong to the other family. Maybe you don't belong to our family. That's what the Gemara says about this case. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah gave all of these cases. So one of the cases was that the two babies got mixed up, you don't know whose is whose. So you see in that case that it sounds from the case that if the mother's a Kohenes, the mother is a Kohenes and the father's a Goy, mother can't, the father's the goy, that the child is potter from Pidyon HaBen. So the Gemara, Rapapa says it's not correct. Rapapa, Bodekon Rabba. Rabba was testing us to see if he knew the dinim. Yes, what's a din? A girl is a Kohenish and she's living with a goy and they have a baby. Do you need Pidyon HaBen? So we said it should be the same as Levia. Just like if the mother's a Levia, she's living with a goy, so the child... So the child is a lady posolikri, so the child doesn't need pidyon then. So if the mother's a Kohenis living with Goy, should be the same. The child should be a Kohen posol, and he shouldn't need pidyon then. So the Gemara says, but Rabbi told Rapapa that he's wrong. Omali, the line begins with Omali, five lines from the bottom. Rabbi told me, Rapapa, Ochi Hashta, no tzushta, he made an incorrect tzushta. Bishlem will have via bigdusha sekaima. If the girl is a Leviah and she's living with a goy, she retains the status Kedushas Leviah. The Tanya we have a bris, a Leviah she nishbis, a shvuya. If a woman is nishbis, aliske nefashis, then you have to be, the Rabbanim say you have to be chayshish, that she was nivola by the goyim. Even though she swears on a stack of Bibles that they didn't touch her, but we don't believe her. The Gemara has a lotion there in the second parak in Exubis. This is a chumrim in the Rabbanim. Because the din is, just because a woman, let's say an Eishes Ish, violated Yichud, she was together with someone else in a building and there was no one else there, so she violated the din of Yichud. So that doesn't make her into a Saita Sofik. Just because she violated Yichud, it's a Sofik. Not only Yichud, let's say there was Stira. The Baal HaTanya writes in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, a Saita Sofik means the husband is choshed that his wife is having an affair with someone else, and he warns her. Kina, kina means hasro. Husband warns his wife, al tistri mishplene, don't be misyachet with that person. So if you have kina, you steer her, then she becomes asro al baila until she goes to the Beis HaMikdash and drinks Mayim HaMorim. Today, there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Mayim HaMorim. So if the husband did kina and she did steer her, she'll be asro al baila. And there's no way to become a teres labayla. So the Gemara says on the first half in Saita that today, bizman shein beis hamikdash kaim, it's not a smart thing to warn your wife of tistri mishplein. Because if she'll be in this teres, she'll become a sura. There won't be any way to be mater. So the Baal HaTanya says, what does mean kinu yastira? Stira means that she violated yichud. He says, not the same thing. Let's say there's a law firm, and they have 300 people, a big office, a whole building, a big office, and everybody can walk from one room to the other. And slowly by slowly, at the end of the day, everybody leaves, whatever time, 5 o'clock, everybody leaves. Then it turns out at the end, you have the woman whose husband won her altistri and mishplaini, she's there, and the man whom the husband is chayshid, that she's having an affair with, he's the last one there. So they're violating Yichud, but it's not called Stira. Balatanya says, and Avnei Nezer thinks that he's right. Avnei Nezer quotes the Lalacha. Balatanya writes in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, I think, it's only called Stira if they went into the room together and it looks fishy. But if you had 500 people in the office and every at 5 o'clock, the whole building empties out, and then for an hour, the only two people left are the Eishes Ish with the one that the husband is chayshed her with. That's only called Yichud. That's not called Stira. She only becomes Asura L'Baila if you had Stira. But let's say you had Stira without Kinui. An Eishes Ish with another man go into a house together, and there's no one else there. They violated Yichud. And they were not only Yichud, it was in the Stira. They walked in together. But the Gemara said, Malkam ala Yichud, v'naisim ala Yichud. You don't ask them an Eishes Ish L'Baila. That's because she violated Yichud, even if they went in together, even if it was a Stira. The only Asa Labaila, if there was Kinui, and then afterwards there was Stira. So the Gemara has a Loshan there in Exodus. What did the Nachri already do to the Nachri, the prison guard, and the woman is a Shvuya? So what did the Nachri do? Maybe he touched her body improperly. But we don't assume that he was really Baaleh, huh? So the dinner of Shvuya, Surulakuna, the whole thing is only a Chumra midirabbanan. The Gemara has a whole Machlokes HaTanaim, how far do you go with this Chumra? That was a Shaila. At the end of the Second World War, there were hundreds of thousands of women who were Shvuyas by the Nazis in the concentration camps. They had the right to shoot you. The Nazis had the right to kill anybody. It's not that they were holding them prisoners, Aliske Momen. They're holding prisoners, Aliske Nefoshes, if they would kill them. The government wouldn't do anything to them. The government was killing all the Jews anyway. So that's a shaila whether there was a din of shvuya or not. After the war, that's what we mentioned, is very, we have to find out from the Feinstein family. They don't have any tshuvas from Moshe Feinstein. It can't be that they never asked them a shaila. How can it be? The Gedolim in Europe were all meiko for various reasons. They were meiko because it was against the law, against the German law, to have tashmish with the Jewish woman. They considered it like mishka behema. They considered the Jews like animals, and if someone would practice mishka behema, they would give them a punishment. So if the prison guards would be mezana with the Jewish girls, they would punish them. So that's what they were all mekel, that she doesn't have a din of shvuy asur lekoyin, because it's a strong omdin that it didn't happen. Because they would be punished if they would do it. It's like a nishbis aliske moment, that there's no din of shvuy asur lekoyin. And the Gemara says shvuy asur lekoyin is a chumra midrabban. It's not a din midrabban. It's a chumra midrabban. That's why there's more room to be meikom. There was a maisa years ago, a koyin from Tinek wanted to marry a grusha. So the rabbi said, okay, they wanted the rabbi to be mezada grusha, and said, you're not allowed to marry a grusha. I can't perform the marriage. So they went to the Linky yeshiva. They went to the other yeshiva that is collapsing now, and they got a heter that the kohen is allowed to marry a grusha. Why? Because the kohen's grandmother was in a concentration camp, and she married a kohen. So she was a shvuy asur l'kohen. So all of her descendants are chalolim. So chalol is permitted to marry a grusha. Chalol means empty vacuum, empty. There's nothing there. So a chalol is permitted to be metam el meisim, permitted to marry a grusha. All the dinim of kuna don't apply. Doesn't duchim, doesn't get the first aliyah. He's not a kohen at all. So they gedolim over there, having gepaskin, that since the grandmother was a shvuya, the shvuya is only astur midirabbanan. So the children are chalolim midirabbanan, but a grusha is an isa deraisa. So if someone is a chalol midirabbanan, let's say someone is a bing chalutza. Chalutza is only astur l'kain midirabbanan. Min ha-Torah, the ben chalutza is a kain kosher. A ben grusha is a chalolim min ha-Torah, a chalol chalolim min ha-Torah. But a ben chalutza is only midirabbanan. So let's say a kohen will marry a chalutza, so the children will be chalolim midirabbanan, but they're not chalolim in a Torah. In a Torah, he's allowed to marry a chalutza. So because he's a cholam at the Rabbanon, so he's allowed to marry a grusha. No, he's not allowed to marry. If you're a cholam and atar, then you're allowed to marry. So that doesn't make sense. The woman is a shvuya, is only asur lekayim at the Rabbanon, it's only a chumer at the Rabbanon, it's not even a din at the Rabbanon. A chalutza is at the Rabbanon asur lekuna. A shvuya is a chumer at the Rabbanon. It's a chumer at the Rabbanon, less than a din at the Rabbanon. So remember, I was once giving a shir. There is a fellow in Los Angeles, Zvika Reisman, a successful businessman, and he gives chaburis. He's very into learning. He gives chaburis once a week in his home. He has a whole group of people. So for quite a few years, he gave chaburis. He's not a kohen. For quite a few years, gave shurim on Yoni Kuhuna. Every Thursday night, a different shir and in Yoni Kuhuna. So I was there a few times when I was in Los Angeles on Thursday night. There's Bechabimi a few times that I should give the chabura on in Yoni Kuhuna. So I remember once I gave a shir and I told over this Ma'isa Shoyah. So he tells me a year later he didn't believe it. That's what they paskin, that a ben shvuya is a cholol and is allowed to marry a grusha. So the next time he traveled to New York for business, he went to the Linky Yeshiva and he asked him. He said, yeah, that's the psak that they gave. He thought I made up a baba maisa. Till he heard, he went to, and they told him in person, yeah, that's what they paskin. It's ridiculous. There is no such thing. Anyway, so that's what the Gemara says, Leviya Shanishbis, if a Leviya is a Shvuya, even if she was Nivala by the Goy, she doesn't lose the status of Leviya. Or even she Nivala Bilas, no, she was Nivala by Goy, still not Salam Meiser, okay, she permitted to eat Meiser. Kohenes, if a Kohenes was Nivala by Goy, she's Nivala Lepasla Psola, she becomes Nishala Lamina Kahuna. That's what the Brisa says. But a Kohenes came the evil law if she's nibble about the Havia Zara. So if a Leviah is nibble by a Goy, she retains the status of Leviah. So the boy, the baby boy she's going to have will be a lady posolikri. It'll be a lady, so he's pater from Pinyin Aben. But if a Kohenes will be nibble by a Goy, then she loses a Kedushas Kuhuna. And then the Melahart baby boy who's born will need a Pidyon HaBen because he's not going to be called a Kohen at all. That's the Gemara. So here is the famous Tosfos Yester Kasha. Every Kohen is also a Levi. So if the woman would have been only a Leviya, Shenivala by the Goy, she would not be Nischalala from Kedushas Leviya. So now that she's a Kohenes and she was Nivala by the Goy, she's living with a Goy all along. She was living with the Goy all along, so she's Nifsalim and Akuhuna. She becomes like a Zara, but she's all, every Kohenes is also Leviya. So the Leviya who has a baby boy is a Levi Pasalikri, so let the child be Potter from Pidyon HaBen. By Kohenes and Nivala Legoy, let the child be Potter from Pidyon HaBen, because the mother, any mother who's a Kohenes is also Leviya. So Taisa Yester Kasha. So Rab Chaim and his Sefer on the Rambam quotes that Tosfos raises the issue. Rab Chaim says it's unclear whether that's what Tosfos means. Rab Chaim says Pshat is like this: a Kohen is not a Levi. Either you have Kedushas Kuhuna, you have Kedushas Leviya. You don't have both. The Gemara says B'chof Tal Mekamis Nikru Kohanim Leviim. The 24 places in Tanakh that it says Bnei Levi about Kohanim. So the answer is there are two dinim in Leviya: there's Shevet Levi and there's Kedushas Leviya. So, a Kohen is from Shevet Levi. A Kohen or a Kohenes has Kedushas Kuhuna, but they don't have Kedushas Levi. They're from Shevet Levi, but they don't have Kedushas Levi. They don't have Kedushas Levi. So that's what the Gemara says over here. If the Kohenes is Nivala by the Nochri, so she loses Kedushas Kuhuna, she's still from Shevet Levi, but she's no longer, she never had Kedushas Lady in the first place, because she had Kedushas Kuhuna. Either you have Kedushas Kuhuna, you have Kedushas Lady. You don't have both. You can be a Kedushas Kuhuna with Shevet Lady, but you can't be Kedushas Kuhuna with Kedushas Lady. That's what the Rav Chaim said. That's what the answer is to Tosfos Kash. So that's the Gemara has in the second parak in Ksubit, that's a machlekes about keeping Rav Loza ben Azariah. if a person is a farmer and Eretz Yisrael is so Truma Gedolah, give to a guy Ma'aseh Rishon, give to a lady. So do you say you can give Ma'aseh Rishon to a Kohen also? Because B'chav Tal Mekam is Nekru Ka'anim Levim, you're allowed to give Ma'aseh Rishon to anyone who's from Shevet Levi, the Ka'anim are from Shevet Levi. Or do you say no? Ka'anim are from Shevet Levi, but they don't have Kedushas Levi. So that's how we pass. And that's a Machlekes Hatanai, Rabbi Kiva of Lozim Azari. Are you Yotzei the Mitzvah that I said? If the farmer gives the Ma'aseh Rishon to a Kohen, but he say you only Yotzei if you give to a lady. Why? What's the issue? Every Kohen has Shevet, it belongs to Shevet lady, but it doesn't have Kedushas Levir. So when the Torah says that you give Ma'aseh Rishon to a lady, what does that mean? The one who has Kedushas Levir, the one who belongs to Shevet lady. Afkimin, are you Yotzei the Din Derayse if you give the Ma'aseh Rishon to a Kohen? The Rambam paskins, you're not. Rambam paskins, min HaTorah, Ma'aseh Rishon can only be given to a lady. This whole biur that we're giving, that the two different dinim is Kedushas Levi and Shevet Levi, and a Kohen has Kedushas Kuna, doesn't have Kedushas Levi, but he has Shevet Levi. This is all not like Rabbi Simcha. Rabbi Simcha, there are some Mech, where they say, Franchum is the Meshach Chachma, that he was a Kohen, he can say this. So he says, there's no such thing as Kedushas Levi. There's only Shevet Levi. There's Kedushas Kuna, but there's not Kedushas Levi. And he says, that's the reason why. That's the reason why a Kohen is not allowed to eat truma if he's tummy, or if the truma is tummy. A lady can eat Ma'aseh Rishon even if he's tummy, even if the Ma'aseh Rishon is tummy. The Gemara has a comment on the pasuk in Bamidbar that says, "V'chalta Moshe v'chal Mokaim." The Levim can eat the Ma'aseh Rishon wherever they want. So Rashi and Chumash quotes the comment from "V'chalta Moshe v'chal Mokaim." Afila bebeis hakvaris. The Levi is permitted to eat the Ma'aseh Rishon even in the cemetery. What do you mean? Even if he's tummy, even if the Ma'aseh Rishon tummy, permitted to eat it. Why? Because there's no such thing as kedushas Levi, so there's no problem with tumah. Kahuna, there's kedushas kahuna. Rameh Simcha was a kohen, the Yosameh. He says, Kohanim have Kedushas Kuna. But because of Kedushas, a Tumah and Kedushas is a type of disaster. So you can't eat the Tumah in the state of Tumah. But Ma'aseh Rishon you may eat in the state of Tumah. So the same thing over here. Nivalol Apostle Psala only applies to a Kohenetz. Because Kohanim have Kedushas Kuna. But the Levim don't have any Kedushas Levias. And Nivalol Apostle doesn't cancel the Kedushas Levi. She'll have the Kedushas Levi. But a Kohenis only has Kedushas Kuna. She doesn't have Kedushas Levia. She's from Shevet Levi, so that's why you have to be involved. Which din depend on Shevet Levi and which din depend on Kedushas Levi? Yeah. Okay. Maybe we'll stop here. I just wanted to say a little bit on the Sedra. In Parshas Vayera, we have about the Akedah. So some of Farshim raised a question. Kodesh Baruch appears to Avraham Avinu a nevuah, direct nevuah mipi ha'gvura. He wants them to do the Akedah. So what was the great nisayon if the Jewish people over the generations, many Jews were Moshe Nefesh Akedush Hashem, they gave up their lives not to convert to Islam, not to convert to Christianity, not to convert to any Avodah Zarah. Akedush Hashem and Rebbe Hashem didn't appear to them. Yeah, Kodesh Baruch appears to Avraham Avinu in person and he tells them, do the Akedah. So of course he's going to do it. Why do we consider it such a great nisayon from all the Esen Nisyonim, all the 10 nisayonim that Avraham Avinu succeeded in observing, the Medrash considers that Akedah the greatest nisayon. Why is that such a great nisayon? So the Ran has a collection of drushes, drushes Aran. It's the same Ran that we have on the Rif all the time. So the Ran has the drushes Aran. So he has a drush on this. So he has a famous interpretation. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Kach Noah es binchas chitcha shehafta. The word Noah means please. Ein Noah l'loshem bakoshet. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch appeared to Avraham Avinu and he said, could you do me a favor? If it's too difficult, don't do it. I'm not instructing you. I'm not requiring, I'm not demanding you should do it. I'm not mitzvah you. It would please me very much. It would make me very happy if you'll do this. But if you feel it's too much, don't do it. That was quite an isayin. You want Mukhiyev to do it, but this would make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy. And Avraham Avinu is prepared to give up his own son, because that's what make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy. You have to know a lot of times what's the letter of the law and what's the spirit of the law. The Mishnah in Avodah Zarah comments on the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Ki tov midadecha miyoyin. I appreciate the love that you show me more than yayin. What is that referring to? So the whole Shir HaShirim is by the Tanoim. It's taken to be a mashal regarding the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Bnei Yisrael, Ki tov midadecha miyoyin. Chavivim divi sofim yoysen miyeno shal Torah. I appreciate when you observe dinim derabban, and you're volunteering things, I didn't ask you to do that. I told you, bas b'chala b'zos flation milk, and you volunteered on your own not to eat chicken and milk at din derabban. A million and one dinim derabban in all areas, Shabbos. All areas, they're dinim derabban. Chavivim divrei sofim, I appreciate all the dinim derabban that you're volunteering. Yes, in the ancient, I appreciate it more than when you observe the dinim deraisa, because you demonstrate that you love me, that you go above and beyond what I asked you to do. How does a child demonstrate that he loves his parents? How does a husband demonstrate that he loves his spouse? He doesn't wait till the wife tells him 10 times, please take out the garbage. Or the mother should tell the son 10 times, please go to the drugstore and pick up my prescription. He knows that the mother would want that. He goes before the mother asks him. The husband surprises his wife. He does things without the wife asking him to do it. If you know what would make your spouse happy, what would make your parents happy, to demonstrate that you love them, you do it without their tzibur. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki toif midadecha miyoyin. I appreciate more when you demonstrate the decha, your love for me, by volunteering dinim derabbanan, to go to do my rotzen. You go and you do things above and beyond what I instructed you to do. So that, the Gemara says, what's the binding source of all the dinim derabbanan? The Gemara says, the pasuk, shalavicha liagetcha stikeinecha liyamruloch. What do you mean, shalavicha liagetcha is not one of the taryag mitzvahs? So what do you mean, that pasuk is the binding force of all the dinim derabbanan? The pasuk sounds like it's saying, shalavicha liagetcha, it talks about ask your grandparents, ask your elders about history. What lessons were learned from history? What has it got to do with observing Dinim Derabbanan? So the Mesilas Hashoyim explains. The binding force of the Dinim Derabbanan is Ahavas Hashem. Because Ahavas Hashem is not only Chayvus Halavavus, not only you should have such an attitude to develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Chayvus Ha'ivarim. You have to do activities to demonstrate that you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you have to do to demonstrate? You have to go above and beyond what he asked you to do. You have to go deeper. You know what the letter of the law is. Follow the spirit of the law and go past what HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you know what is the spirit of the law? You can interpret differently. So that's Shalavicha V'Yageicha. Ask the Talmid HaChachamim who have a hekif from Kol HaTorah Kula, and they'll have the correct understanding of what is the spirit of the law. Some people have a cockeyed impression of what the spirit of the law is, that they want to go above and beyond what God instructed us, just like the volunteer, just like God instructed us to do bris milah on a baby boy, so we'll volunteer to a brita on a baby girl. That's mutilating the body. That's the Avodah Zarah do that. That's not above and beyond. That's not the spirit of the law. Shaladicha liagetcha, and they'll tell you what is in the spirit of the law. And then that's binding, not because of Shaladicha, it's binding because we have to Hashem Elokecha. That's the way to demonstrate that you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the famous Drasha Saran. He says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared, revealed himself to Avraham Avinu, and he says, Kach no, es bincha, sechitcha no, einu aloshem bakosha, means he didn't instruct him, I require of you, I command you to bring his son as a korban. He said, it would really make me happy, it would please me very much, but if it's too hard, if you feel it's too much, forget it, don't do it. Mm-hmm. It would please me if you would bring your son as a korban. And Avraham Avinu went ahead and he did it, even though he was not mitzvah to do it. That's very questionable whether we would have done that. Probably not. Do we really love HaKadosh Baruch so much? We're going to go lifnei mishuras hadin to shecht our children to do such a thing. That was the nisayon of the, that's the famous Rosh Hashanah. Okay, we left off here in the middle. Okay, we'll leave that next week. We'll continue from this gemara.
How can he take away Yitzchak's land? What right did he have to kill Yitzchak?
He understood that this, Baruch Shalom told him that this is my Ratzon. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him it would please me very much, so it's included in the pleasing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there is no Issa L'Asir Yitzchak here. It's against everything that he stood for. Avraham Avinu was opposed to Molech, opposed to sacrificing you, everything he stood for, it contradicted everything, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him this would please me, so he's prepared to do it. He was about to do it. Till the Malach said, "I'll tish like Yerucha Lanar." Yeah, quite a mechudish diket pshat. Okay.
Thank you.
So we'll be helping, and we'll continue next week from
Mizrahi.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful cheers.
Thank you.
Beautiful cheers.
Good.